You want to say about Aloka? What is Aloka?
Yesterday we mentioned about the light and the darkness. And what I understand it, trying to understand the word light, it means if it's a rupa, it means a vanarupa. If understand like a vanarupa, okay, and the darkness. If a rupa, it means the same but the less light. Less light. But we talk about the darkness in terms of panyati, in terms of when it's not jaku vinyana experience visible object. And otherwise, I mean the other citta, or even jaku vinyana, or maybe I can say the 89 citta, also in darkness. The darkness mean like a panyati for describe the characteristic of nama different from rupa, some kind like that. And when we talk about the light and darkness, then many meaning, like when we talk about the light in the term of the panyati, and like a samat, what you call the samatha bhavana, it talk about the kasin, like a use the panyati for light or aloka for concentration, but it only the panyati, not the paramatta, some kind like that. Even I like try to think about that when they're talking about the panya, maybe we can understand like a light too. I mean the light for the see the reality or the right. Or any, that's why we talk about the light, the dark set. I try to listen to heart what is the meaning when the Ajahn answer, what it in the different, but I understand that. But the deeper definition of that should be understand more, if it mentioned about the rupa or the other else. But I just say that Nina talked about the aloka, it's a panyati. I think it like a, when talk about aloka, like a panyati is mean the paramatta satya or the samuti satya, some kind like that. Because in how I understand like a aloka is like a light. Light, it means the one tattoo. That like a help Mahabhuta rupa to reflect by the one the rupa, the visible objects in pinch to the eye base or some kind like that. If it's no light, it's hard to see. That's why just thinking about that.
I think you've brought up many different points and many different aspects, so it's good to go through them one by one. So first of all, visible object, no matter it's called what is seen or visible object or vana or rupa, just that which is seen. So is visible object light?
Yes.
So visible object is light. Even if we are in a dark room or close our eyes, there must be some light. So the light is an aspect of visible object. So there is light at that moment. Is sound light? No. So sound, it arises in darkness. It doesn't mean there's any panyati or any other reality. It just means no light at that moment because it's sound. So no aspect of light in sound. So nothing to do with panyati. It just means the characteristic of sound is not light. That's all it means when we say talk about darkness. And if we talk about seeing consciousness, which sees visible object, is there any light in seeing consciousness? Is there any light in seeing consciousness? The characteristic of seeing, is it light?
Seeing is seeing, it's not light. So seeing sees seeing, or experience the visible object.
Yes, so any aspect of light in seeing, the characteristic of seeing, any aspect of light?
Maybe I don't know what you're trying to ask the question.
We've said that visible object is light, like at this moment of seeing, what is seen is light. But sound is not light. So when sound is experienced, it is dark because there's no light. And what about seeing consciousness? The characteristic of seeing consciousness, is it light or not light?
No.
No. So we say it arises in darkness because seeing itself is not light. It doesn't mean there's any panyati. It doesn't mean there's any other rupa. It just means the characteristic of seeing, the characteristic of hearing, the characteristic of any citta is not light. So only visible object is light. That's the first point. So when we say everything else arises in darkness, it just means no light as characteristic of that reality.
How about what we talk about the rupa and nama? And when you talk about the seeing is a nama.
Yes.
And then we talk about the light or the one no tattoo, it's the rupa.
Yes. Okay? It's the aspect of visible object.
And you talk about the seeing or hearing, they're different.
So seeing, no light in it.
Yeah.
But, hearing, but, no light in it. It's not, when we say it's dark, it doesn't mean there's any concept of dark. It doesn't mean there's any other characteristic. It just means no light at all. Only visible object is light. That's all. So that's the first point. That's what's meant by light and dark, that apart from visible object when it is experienced, every other reality is dark. Every citta arises in darkness. The only light appears when visible object is seen by seeing, that's all. So that's the first point.
What I understand is the rupa and nama is clearly. If we talk about the light, we talk about the rupa.
Is the rupa aspect, that can, is that which is seen only?
Yeah, that impinged the eye base, just only the seeing the visible object. And that's it. Nothing else is no light.
You mentioned before about darkness is a concept at the moment of other cheetahs or something, but actually we don't need to think like that. We can just say light is just an aspect of visible object and anything else is not light. That's all we need to say. And then the other point was you mentioned about aloka. So this is usually used as in the development of samatha, when Nina said it's a panyati, because it's not reality, it's the nimitta, the sign of light, the sign of visible object, which is an object of samatha in the development of samatha bhavana. All the objects of samatha, apart from two, are panyati. So it's not the reality of visible object, but a sign of visible object, sign of light. That is the object of the citta at that time through the mind or.
And aloka, does that have anything to do with something that is not loka? Any relationship in this context?
It's not aloka, it's aloka. When Sarah talking about light, visible object is light, it's light of the eye sense, is it? It arises at the eye sense, or light at the visible object.
Now, the visible object is very light. So it, that visible object impinges on eye sense and is seen by seeing consciousness. So it's an aspect of the visible object. It's the nature of visible object that it is light.
Sarah, could you talk a little bit more about nimitta? Yesterday I heard you saying there is citta nimitta and rupa nimitta. And just now you said rupa nimitta is the sign of rupa. Some more to say to it?
The teachings talk about sankhara nimitta, the nimitta of reality. Now seeing arises and falls away, and many, many seeings arise and fall away. Many, many visible objects are seen. So when the characteristic of visible object appears, actually it's not just one visible object, but it is the sign, the nimitta of visible object, which appears because there have been many, many visible objects seen in rapid succession. And sometimes the simile is given of waving the fire stick. So it gives the impression there is a sign that is left behind. So it is the sign or the mark of the visible object. So this is sankhara nimitta, the sign of reality. And when there is understanding the characteristic of visible object, actually it is the sign of visible object that is seen, not one particular one, but the sign, the characteristic of that reality. And this may even be in the mind door. So actually the visible object's fallen away, but the sign appears because of the succession of visible objects that have seen. And another related but slightly different meaning of nimitta is the one I just used with nopadom, when it is a sign of reality, which actually is a concept, a panyati, in the development of samatha, for example, when there is the development of samatha with earth kasina as object. Actually, it is the sign of earth, which is the object of samatha, or in this case, the sign of light. So in fact, there is no light seen or no hardness touched, but there is a mental image of it, which is that object of samatha. So in this case, actually, it is a concept, as Nina said. It's the sign of the reality, but in fact, it's a concept at this point. It's not, so there's not, when there's direct understanding of reality, it's not the sankhara nimitta. It's a very difficult topic, many aspects to it. And nimitta is used, and then after seeing has seen visible object, and then the shape and form appears, and then there is the thinking about the signs and details. In the text they talk about the thinking about the nimitta and upyanjana, and the clinging to the details of what is seen. And at this point actually it is concepts about what is seen. So different aspects of nimitta. But when we were talking yesterday, it was the sign of reality, which, and it is even at a moment of highly developed understanding, such as in Vipassana Jnana, it is the nimitta of reality that is known. But we don't have to say that, we can just say it's characteristic of reality.
So when you talk about aloka, it refers only to the nimitta of the visible object in the case of the kasina, right? So when the meditation object, which is like virtues of the Buddha, recollections of the virtues of the Buddha, then this aloka is not used, or?
If the recollection is on the virtues of the Buddha, then it's just on those virtues, no thought or concern or interest in aloka, different object.
Sarah, I thought I heard you say
through there that when there is direct understanding of the characteristic of a reality, it is not through the nimitta. Not the nimitta.
Nimitta.
That's what I thought.
It is the nimitta
is.
Of reality. Even
okay, I misheard
that. Even at moments of vipassana and jnana, it is the
yeah.
nimitta of
yes.
reality. But what I said is we don't need to call it nimitta
because
for all intents and purposes, it's just the characteristic of reality. But actually, it is
the nimitta. I misheard then. Thank you.
Tom, you were going to ask one or two more questions about light?
It's already partly discussed, but another thing about the light is like when we read in some text, it's said that one of the conditions for seeing a consciousness to arise is light, as though is it something separate from the visible object. So would you have some comments, any comments about this?
At the moment of seeing, no word. And what is seen is a reality which can impinge on the eye base. Otherwise, it cannot be seen.
Yeah, I think that what I heard about light and, you know, since yesterday makes sense to me. It's just like because we have some texts that said that, so probably something more, if you have something to add.
I think sometimes it mentions just visible object and sometimes it mentions visible object and light. So it just, but actually it's still just that which is seen. It just depends whether it's mentioned as like an extra condition or not. It's just pointing to the fact that without light, no visible object is seen.
So another thing about the nimitta. So when we talk about the nimitta of the kasina of visible object, and we call that aloka, and also when we talk about the nimitta of the visible object, which is the object of panya in the vipassana, the development of vipassana is also nimitta. So can you please clarify the differences between these two?
Aloka is a kasina.
That's a nimitta of the visible object, right? Yes. Yes. So let's say example, when the visible object becomes the object of vipassana and panya, then is it said that it's also the nimitta of the visible object? So you see what I mean?
My understanding, and it may not be correct, is you mentioned aloka in the context of kasina, right? Is the nimitta of the kasina referred to as aloka, or is that a separate subject of meditation, samatha development?
I think that if we begin with reality right now, we can understand better. For example, now there is seeing. We don't need to call that which is seen as anything at all, whether it's light or different colors, but it must be object of seeing, right? Because seeing arises and falls away in split second. So many, many, many moments. And also that which is seen also arises and falls away in split seconds. So just a kalapa or a single moment of seeing cannot be object at all. Because they just arise very, very fast. So what is now appearing is always nimitta of everything. Nimitta of rupa, for sure. Nimitta of vedana, nimitta of sanya, nimitta of a single sankhara when it appears as the object of right understanding, and nimitta of vijnana too. Because at moment of the characteristic which experiences an object appear as it is, no light, but it's that which experiences at that moment, right understanding begin to understand the reality which can experience without anything at all. Because at that moment is the developed panya, which can understand the characteristic of that, we may say in darkness or no light at all, as just a reality, because it experiences an object, but the object at that moment does not appear, only the characteristic of that which experiences appear, as that's it, which can experience anything. And at that moment, no single moment of the experience, just the characteristic of a reality which now experiences when it arises. And that is clear comprehension of what we are now thinking about, the experiencing, the reality which experienced now, visible object or sound or whatever, right? So that is a kind of what we may use the word nimitta, because not a single unit of a reality, no matter nama or rupa, that is nimitta. And when we talk about nimitta as shape and form, see, since the arising and falling away so very rapidly, what is left is different form and shape, right? And that is nimitta, not panyati. Only nimitta of that which arises and falls away very fast. And panyati is that which can be known as this or that from nimitta. So without nimitta, there's no panyati. So in order to understand the reality which arises and falls away in split seconds, we can just understand that which appear as different ones, like vedana is not sanya, is not citta, is not rupa at all, by nimitta. And since the nimitta is different, panyati can know it or understand it by its own nimitta. So with the Paramattha Dhamma and the nimitta of the rapidity of the arising and falling away of the Paramattha Dhamma, condition that which is known by its appearance as what we take for people and things. So nimitta for any being like snake and rat, also see, and the nimitta of that which appear, and panyati, it learn, it understand from that which appear as something. That is panyati. So at moment of seeing, there is panyati of nimitta. It make known by its characteristic or appearance or sign. And at moment of hearing, it's the nimitta of sound, so that one can understand what a sound mean, like this, see, this, it means this. So the sound goes along, or it means whatever we are thinking about, each sound. So sound is also nimitta for panyati to take it for some meaning, the meaning of it. For example, see, is the nimitta of sound. Panyati takes it for not hearing.
I found it a bit difficult. The nimitta of panyati, that I found a little bit difficult. I thought it was always sankara nimitta of reality.
Yeah, with our reality, there cannot be nimitta.
No.
But whenever there is nimitta, panyati, the citta marks and remembers. With our Paramattha Dhamma, there is no nimitta. And if there is no understanding or taking nimitta for something which is known as a glass, and at moment it is known as something, it is panyati, from nimitta.
From nimitta.
Yeah. If there is no nimitta, how can there be the idea of such and such?
So, nimitta of reality, and because of that, nimitta
then there is the impression of shape and form, and that leads to the thinking about glass or people, panyati. But without nimitta, without the sign of the visible object or whatever is experienced, there couldn't be the concept, the idea about it.
Can we say it's like an agent between reality and concept?
Something in between anyway, yeah. Because it has to be the impression of what is seen for there to be thinking about it. Yeah. Actually, it doesn't matter what it's called, but it's just to realize that why is there thinking about a concept? And the reason there is thinking about a glass or a table is because there has been the experience of the sign of the reality. There is the impression of shape and form, and that leads to the thinking about the glass. Many, many different mind or processes before there can be thinking about the concept.
So in the case of the, let's say, Earth Kazina, so the Earth Kazina is a concept. It's a panati. So when you talk about aloka, this, what does that, or the nimitta of the Earth Kazina?
And panyati is known
by
such nimitta as something which is not reality. So it's panyati. The nimitta is different from the reality itself, right? It's only the mark or the sign. So it's nimitta, and it's the moment when there is the understanding of such thing as something that is panyati.
Well, you've mentioned a couple of times aloka in the context of the Earth Kasina, right? But I think the aloka is a different kasina to the Earth Kasina. There's a light.
I think I heard Sarah mention an example, Earth Kasina. Or
no, that's just an example of, because we were talking about aspects or considerations of nimitta, so I was talking about as an example of an object of samatha, but aloka is quite different, nothing to do with Earth Kasina, different object of samatha.
Can we hear more about aloka?
Nimitta of light.
I would like to change idea for tambas. I'd like to distinguish between the samatha and the vipassana. The aramana for the samatha always is a panjati. But the vipassana, paramatha, or real reality, to be aramana for vipassana. That's why samatha always the concept of panjati, even for the aloka. You will separate this. No, almost of the samatha aramana is the concept of panyati.
Yes, that I agree. But what I am trying to understand is aloka. Because I think I didn't get it right.
If you understand the nimitta of earth, then you can understand aloka is the nimitta of light.
Before, quite a lot about earth, so that may be why I gave that, because it may be more easily understood, because actually what is touched is earth, what is around is earth, and as we know, everything we find important, actually it's just earth element. And for those who develop calm with this as object, they may have a earth kasina. So actually, it's not the reality of earth. It's a sign of earth element that is experienced as object. And in just the same way, when light is the object, actually, it's not the paramatta dhamma of light anymore, but it is the sign of light, which is like the image which is continually reflected on as the object of calm.
And I think, as you already know, when we talk about the nimitta of the earth kasina, that's a particular stage, isn't it, of development of samatha. Instead of having the kasina in view, a nimitta of the kasina becomes fixed in the mind. I'm guessing it's the same with light. Is that right then? Yeah.
And just nimitta, yeah. But when panya develops very high, no limited at all. Even at moment of touching, it depending on one's accumulation. For that moment to be moment of samatha or moment of vipassana.
Like even now, we were discussing the other day about how there is so much attachment from the moment we wake up, the moment we go to sleep, to visible object. I was telling Anina, even in the bus coming here this afternoon, I'd close my eyes and then they'd be clinging to visible objects, so I'd open them to look around. So much clinging, but actually it's just visible object. It's just light, just that which is seen. It's no one there, nothing there, just visible object that arises and falls away of no consequence whatsoever. So by reflecting on how it is just that which is seen, even now, it can condition the citta to be calm at that moment. Nothing at all worth clinging to for an instant, because it's just that which is seen, no matter any time, any place.
So you said at moment of touching, it depends on one's accumulations, whether it's moment of samatha or vipassana. So I'm thinking of that you once explained, touching just earth and everything is earth and we cling to earth and that is only earth and that is samatha, a moment of samatha.
Because all kusala condition detachment, right? Especially the bhavana, no matter it is samatha bhavana or vipassana bhavana, it deals with detachment. So how can there be a moment of peace without attachment when there is the idea and thinking about earth? See, it's not just touching the earth and try to concentrate and then one takes it for peaceful moment, but actually it's not. It depends on panya, which say that from birth and every moment, there is always earth. No matter one likes it or not, no matter one experiences it or not, everything around here is only earth. See? So by thinking about why should there be such attachment to only earth, brings about understanding of at moment of seeing that earth means nothing. So the mind can be peaceful, right? Thinking about that is no meaning at all, that reality. So one can have less and less attachment to any kind of form of earth. Until at the moment of touching, it depends. It can be any level of understanding by way of samatha or by way of vipassana, different level.
Even now, one moment of just reflecting that it's just earth that there's so much attachment to, and really it's of no importance, all one's possessions, everything one holds dear, and that moment of wise reflection, it is a moment of samatha, but not understanding of reality. It's understanding is there, but not of reality. And just the same with light, there can be a moment of reflecting now on how there's so much attachment to light. We find it so important that what is seen, usually it's so much attachment all the time, but actually it's just visible object that's seen. So that can be a moment of samatha with understanding, but different from when there's right understanding of the reality as dhamma and that as anatta. So different moments.
I found myself, not only this time, but other times, thinking while we're discussing samatha, and kasinas, and things like that. I find very little interest, and wondering why we're spending time talking about them. And I maybe just moments ago, it started becoming a bit clearer. And I guess I'm wondering, am I correct in thinking that the importance is that it can lead to moments of samatha, not long, you know, moments of concentration on earth, kasina, or light, but just momentary as it arises, like when you mentioned touching, depending on accumulations and developed understanding, there could be a moment of wise reflection, as Sarah mentioned, on something being, it being just earth, which could lead to calm, or there could be a moment of understanding the characteristic of the tangible object. Are you following me?
Well, I wasn't sure what you were referring to when you said it could lead to. I mean, what is the it here?
The it, I guess, would be understanding of aloka, or the earth kasina, in my own mind, I find I much more inclination towards understanding the characteristics of realities as they arise. Not to say that I do, but I find my own interest is more drawn to vipassana and less to I hear these discussions about kasinas and I find myself going, oh dear, here we go. Just not as interested, and I guess I'm wondering.
Don't see the relevance.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm beginning to see the relevance, but I don't.
I think the relevance is that there's a wholesome way of reflecting about things at any time. So there can't be, as Ajahn often says, there can't be awareness and understanding all the time, even for those who are well on the way to developing it. So the thinking that goes on the rest of the time is going to be agusala, unless it has a wholesome bent to it, unless it is able to appreciate wholesomeness or reflect in a wholesome way on everyday objects.
Sense.
I feel this, and I get as
warned, and I feel the same, and I find it more interesting to talk about reality now than have some reflection. But it depends. There's no rule, really. There's no rule.
But I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what samatha is, because at any moment of kusala, right, the citta is calm at that moment. So we spend a lot of time discussing about realities. At those moments, there's no direct understanding of reality, but the citta is calm. Dhamma is the object. Reality is the object. So at that moment, it is samatha. It is the development of samatha. So actually, at moments of understanding of reality, there is the development of samatha and understanding of realities. But usually when people talk about earth kasina or aloka or something, there's no understanding at all of what calm is and how some kinds of reflection now about earth or some kinds of reflection about aloka are kusala with calm and some are akusala. So I think it's helpful to understand what calm is and when there is calm at this moment with different kinds of kusala.
Thank you. That's becoming clearer as we discuss on. I hadn't ever thought of samatha just being, you know, on the cushion trying to focus on something at all, or realizes it. No, it isn't. It isn't. It's the arising. It arises with every kusala citta.
And when it arises, it has arisen of conditions.
Good point, because often people think, oh, I'm only going to follow vipassana, or I'm not interested in samatha or something, but actually each citta is conditioned. No selection, no choice, or no knowing what kind of citta will arise at any moment, because it depends on condition, not on self-selecting or choosing.
But as Ajahn often says, at the moment of vipassana there is also samatha, because it's calm with each kusala citta and vispanya.
Yes, I mentioned that when there is a development of understanding of realities,
yeah,
it is the development of samatha
also
with,
yeah,
understanding.
Yeah.
So it's not the words, but reality. For example, why we learn about so many cittas in a day, because some are unwholesome and some are wholesome. These are only words about wholesome cittas and unwholesome citta, not knowing what citta now is, right? So there are so many, many accumulation of different people, even in the time before Buddha's enlightenment. So people who had accumulated the understanding of life, which is full of attachment to that which is only appearance, but actually without the earth, the buttery, there cannot be things around us to be attached to. So they know just a little about what is what, enough to see that no matter how much pleasurable it appears, actually it's just that. So by understanding this, the mind turns towards becoming detached from clinging by different ways, by understanding the earth or the solidity as just the base of all rupas, the sound or the appearance. And so people have different accumulation to become by thinking about death, or by seeing the not permanent of everything, but by way of something which is not permanent, like birth and death. Like Buddha, when he was Bodhisattva, see, he thought about birth and then old age, sickness, and then death as much as the time when he has become enlightened yet. Like anyone, at moment of thinking about death, not understanding reality as just a moment of arising and falling away, can have calmness that is only useless life at all. Just to be born to die, born to die, born to die, born to die, that's all. An experience with attachment, so on. So by the accumulation, one's own accumulation, that can bring about many ideas and thinking with kusala moment. Up to the moment of understanding the development of samatha to the degree of jhana, see, before the time of Buddha's enlightenment. So we have to think about wholesome moment and unwholesome moment, and the wholesome moment by way of dana and sila and bhavana. Before the time of Buddha is only samatha bhavana, but after his enlightenment there can be the development of what we call vipassana bhavana, understanding reality as no self.
It has to be like even the example of maranasati, reflection on death. understanding is the key. It's a way of reflection, and very common to think of death wisely or unwisely.
And it has to be panya, which can see all this truth according to level of understanding. One clings to what we call earth, solidity. At moment of what appears as very pleasurable, it's only just this, earth or hardness disguised to be different things in the day, to be object of attachment. It's said in sutta, like the female monster. Yeah. Females. Yakini. Disguised as beautiful woman, see?
So when we talk about hardness and softness, actually we refer to different degrees of the same characteristic, right? We call that softness the dark and hardness, but actually just one characteristic, but in different degrees.
Intensity. Solidity of the softness and hardness.
Is there a word for the single word?
Patuidatu.
I mean, in English, I mean, like.
That's why they say
tactileness.
Just patui datu, but each patui datu is different because of condition by the other rupas, the other elements that arise together with it in the kalapa. You're saying that nimitta refers to nimitta of reality, and when we talk about, for example, aloka as nimitta of light, but we say in these cases that it is panyati because it's object of samatha, because it's
because
quite removed
it's
from
the
reality,
mind think
object,
about.
Thinking about it, and it's quite removed from the actual reality. That's why it can be nimitta of reality or nimitta, which is a concept.
That's why there must be the kasina of all this, the kala kasina or the patvi kasina, so citta could think about it a lot until it become the image or the sign, the mitta of it. No need to see again and again, but it's at moment of thinking about it appears like seeing.
For any light to appear. No need for light to appear when it is the nimitta of the kasina of aloka.
In that case, there could not be the discernment of the anattaness characteristic of the visible object.
Only the mind at that moment is peaceful and calm, not thinking about the sensuous object.
Any particular reason with this object that they refer to light rather than visible object?
I think that it depends on the understanding of that person.
Is that
an accumulation tendency to have such and such object?
Can we say when there is panya, there is no nimitta?
So what is the object of panya?
Reality.
It depends on whether it's what kind of nimitta. For example, now what appears is nimitta. No matter it is rupa nimitta, sound nimitta, not only a single unit at all. Like touching, see? Can you have just only one single reality as object? Or is there? By then, when panya is highly developed, realities appear as they are, like space in between hardness. Because of the arising and falling way in succession of citta, can experience that. That's why the first Vipassana Jhana is not the moment of penetration, the arising and falling way of realities. Just learn to see the characteristic of that which experiences, not self at all, and that which appears as just a reality, which is the object.
I don't know, maybe help or not, that the another word, what? I mean, like a light, is a pakatopa nisiyapachai for visible object, for seeing. That's it. Maybe help.
Should we think about? Ajahn, would you please tell about loka, not aloka? I would like to know about loka, life, not aloka.
I see.
No more aloka.
No more aloka. Loka is life, right? But actually, loka means whatever arises and falls away. Each one is loka. For example, when we think about if there's nothing arise at all, there wouldn't be anything. No loka. But now we think we live in this world and there are many worlds. And so many things in this world. But actually, if that does not arise, can there be anything? But since there are conditions for everything now which appears to arise, it arises unknowingly and it falls away unknowingly. Only the great wisdom of Buddha can penetrate the moment of the arising and falling away of whatever, see. For us now, at moment of seeing, it seems like there is also hearing. But that is not like that at all. If seeing does not arise, there's no seeing. There's no world of sight, no people, no thing at all at this moment to appear as people and thing. So we can say that the definition or the truth of what the world is whatever arises is a world. So how many worlds are there?
Eyes is life, ear is light, nose is light, tree, and
are you saying light or life?
Life. And taste, and body, and my object.
Can we say six worlds?
Six worlds.
Yeah.
Worlds one at a time, so only one world appearing at a time.
So actually,
it's the same as what we were talking about, living alone. So at moment of seeing, that is life, just seeing of what appears, visible object or light. And living alone with seeing means understanding there's just that one world at that moment, nothing else at all.
There's some a point that is not really relevant to our daily life, but because we come across that in the text when it mentioned Nibbana as Nama. And in other texts, we learn that Nibbana is beyond Nama and Rupa. So, any comments?
We have talked about this last Saturday.
So we were talking about a passage in the Atthasalani.
In the Atthasalani, for example, and it discusses Nibbana as being
nama, because it causes nameti, it causes citta, the Magampala cittas, to experience it. So in this sense it is nama. It causes them to bend towards it because of being such a powerful object. Actually, it's not rupa, so it has to be nama, because all realities are namas or rupas.
So it caused the citta, maga citta, to bend towards it, right? So like when the visible object does not cause the eye consciousness to know. So in what sense that causing the consciousness to bend towards it, in what sense?
What it says is because it's such a powerful object, that's why it causes the cheetahs to bend towards it. But Ajahn may say more.
Because it is aramanatipatipajya. For panya, not for ignorance.
Predominant object condition for citta to experience it, for nama to experience it.
So what is the definition of nama? Because in other contexts we...
Okay, as simple as it is, whatever is not rupa.
You say that nama is what experiences an object.
When it's conditioned, nama, when it arises, it has to experience.
Okay.
But when it does not arise...
Okay, in that case, it is...
Actually, usually it says nama is a reality which can experience an object. But usually in this context, we're talking about conditioned realities, like the nama khandhas can experience an object. But when we're talking about nibbana, yes, it's not rupa, so it must be nama. I don't think it matters too much, but just to understand, because we say all realities are namas or rupas, and it's not rupa, so it's nama. But it mentions about being aramana adipati pachya, causing the akutra cittas to bend towards it.
When we talk about anything which arises, there must be conditions for its arising. But for nibbana, no conditions at all. And for that which arises, that which can experience is nama. And that which cannot experience is rupa. When we talk about that which arises, and when all the conditions are eradicated, then nibbana is there.
Ajahn, can you elaborate on what you just said, when all of the conditions are
at this
eradicated?
Moment, we don't talk about rupa, we talk about that which experiences. Without conditions, it cannot arise, and the condition for the arising of the nama which arises is avijja and ignorance, that is not known. So there must be the arising and falling away all the time because of ignorance and attachment, until ignorance and attachment is known. By then, it will be less and less until it's completely eradicated.
When we were talking yesterday about what is seen, visible object, and we were saying that kala isn't a good translation, and we mentioned the word vana, which actually is visible object, but in certain contexts, like in the context of the kalapas, it uses vana, and it's sometimes translated as kala. And you said that vana isn't kala, and it's misleading to use the word colour, but some people may say, well, it doesn't matter what is used. Could you say more?
Depending on one's understanding because the other word is longer, but the color just one word, in Thai, just one syllable. It's very easy, but it can be misleading. Because instead of thinking of that which is seen, they think about color. Because you see that that which is seen is not easy to understand at all. Anytime it appears as different colors. So how can there be the understanding of it's only, no matter what light or what color, it's only that which can be seen, that's all. So that there can be more understanding about what Buddha said about Chakku Vijnana first, before other Vijnana, experiences Rupa Ramana. It seems like there is the understanding of Ramana perfectly, but actually there's no understanding of Rupa Ramana. Because as soon as the seeing seems like the shape and form, the nimitta, the sign and image is there already. That's why when Buddha penetrated the truth of the Rupa Ramana, arising and falling away, there's no one in it. This is the way to eradicate the clinging to people and things or whatever is there at moment of seeing, to really understand what is meant by nothing, no one in it, no thing at all, no kettle, no table, no one, because it's only that which arises, impinges on the eye base and falls away in succession. So at moment of understanding clearer and clearer about that which is seen, it will eliminate the idea of seeing something, or people and thing in it.
Or even just
the idea of seeing red or seeing black. And when you say it appears as color, actually even at that moment, it's by saying it appears as color, it's like
shape and form.
Shape and form, yeah. Okay, as a sign of what is seen, or an impression of what is seen. But actually, it's still the idea of something, because it's just what is visible.
So one can see how much ignorance it's accumulated. No matter we heard about seeing and visible object, it's there. It doesn't mean anything. There is still clinging to that which is seen. Until more understanding about it with the other level, the Sammasati of the Eightfold Path, by then, Panya can see the difference between the sati of intellectual understanding and sati, which is direct awareness with right understanding. Whatever appears is like now. So it's only Panya which begins to develop to understand it.
Thanachan, when we speak about the visible object or rupa, if we refer it to color, you said to color, it's maybe
it doesn't
misleading.
Matter because some prefer to use color or some that which is seen and some visible object. It doesn't matter what word, only now, what appears now, is that which is a reality that can be seen. That's all. But since it is with the four primary rupas, but the four primary rupas cannot impinge on the eye at all. That's why what impinges is only that which arises with the four primary rupas. So at moment when it appears as that which is seen many, many, many times, there is the nimitta, the sign, the mark or image of something. No matter we use different colors or whatever, it's only that which arises and falls away. And sanya marks and remember. So it can be moment of taking for something permanent like people and things. while it's only that which can impinge on the ibis.
If you're speaking in Thai, do you refer to sea or do you use the long term for visible object?
Normally, I think in some places they refer to color. But in my opinion, if the aloka, there is no color on aloka.
Not aloka now, only ruparamana. Ruparamana is the combination of two words, aramana and rupa, and is used for the sense, that reality which can impinge on the eye sense, the eyebrows. But people have no idea about that. They go across the reality which appears.
And I think that, like you say, what appears is color, but actually, even when one says what appears is color already, and you said, oh, shape and form, actually, it's not what is seen because it's like the next step. It's already the idea of an impression of what is seen. So an idea of color is not, it's like when we talk about seeing shape and form, well, it's not wrong, but actually it's not the reality because it's already an impression, an idea of what is seen. And the same with color.
Even in Tipitaka it says that visible object seems like it appears together with shape and form, nimitta, instantly. Like now or any time, it seems like it appears with nimitta. That's why Buddha taught about chakkhu viññāṇa can experience only visible object. And by then one begin to see that no one, nothing, invisible object at all. But still, it's the succession of the arising and falling away of that which impinges on the eye base. And as soon as there is seeing, it seems like together at once that which is seen as sign. How can you take the shape and form or the sign out of what appears now? Because as soon as they're seeing, that is seen. Not only visible object, but together with sign of it.
But when there's direct understanding, the shape and form
at
is not there.
At moment of direct understanding, there are also many stages of direct understanding too. For example, it cannot be vipassana jnana in the beginning.
No.
It can be just only satipatthana. So panya understands satipatthana when it arises. If it does not arise, it's only thinking. Keep thinking what moment is satipatthana and what moment is not. But actually it's not the word, but it's the characteristic of sati with panya. Because you see that now we hear about realities, but it's only from hearing, considering, and understanding, not the moment when it is aware of a particular reality. By conditions, this is the most important thing, by conditions. So the panya can see that all are anatta, even the moment of sati sampajanya or satipatthana. And what is the difference? Because reality which appears has to be exactly the same as usual. No distortion. You cannot try to make it just this, only this arise and appear, because at this moment of seeing there is also sound and other sort of reality like thinking. So it has to be so very natural to know that the word in Tipitaka says that the object appears well. It means as it is to sati sampajanya. Then, for example, there is touching many, many times in a day. Always idea of touching something. or no attention to solidity or hardness, attends to the object as something all the time, like this glass and table and pencil and paper and so on. So the hardness does not appear well, as it is just that which is hard, because no attention to it, but attention to the shape and form, the nimitta, instantly. So at moment when there is attending or awareness or whatever, but the object appears as usual, but enough to understand its characteristic as just a Dhamma. It means that at that moment it appears to Sati Sampajanya, which is Satipatthana, no one at all, because by conditions it can be at this moment or any moment, to be object of detachment from taking as I can do or I am aware, but it's only the moment when it arises by conditions. That's why with our pariyatti, not only hearing, but the understanding deeply, perfectly, until it is satyayana of anatta-ness. Because usually as soon as there's hearing, attachment is there, another trap all the time. How can I? So when such question arises, it means that it's not enough understanding of reality as anatta. So it is very, very subtle that even such moment arises when the highly panya developed, but understand instantly that characteristic as attachment. That's why attachment can be known as the object, as the second truth. So panya becomes detached and detached from attachment little by little, no matter by other ways or other means or other guise that it arises to trap. See? So panya develops until whatever appears now at moment of satipatthana, it is the understanding of different level of understanding. That it's still like I see people and things, but such moment which has conditions to arise is aware instantly by itself. No selection for sati to be aware of such and such thing at all. So it's the way of detachment from the very beginning to the end. So now it can be right awareness or not at all. Panya knows, not that I try to make it to be. And this is only moment when it arises, if there is desire to have it more. See, trap again. The self is there, attachment is there. So it takes time to understand the anatta-ness. No matter one wants it or does not want it, it has to be by conditions that way.
So when we refer to light as an aspect of visible object, we should distinguish it not the same as light in the conventional way, right?
When it's not right understanding of reality, there is the idea still of light. Whether it's this or that, see? But when it's the right understanding of whatever appears at moment of seeing, no idea at all about it.
And when Jagrit, you mentioned something about the light conditioning the visible object or something. What did you mean?
I just say that about the visible object and mention about aloka. Aloka has no color, but aloka is, as Ajahn mentioned, is a nimitta of rupa. So if we refer that the visible object is color, maybe we will misunderstood about the meaning, exact meaning of rupa.
of
rupa, visible object.
If we don't have the term aloka, how can we know the difference between visible object and that which is only the sign of samatha? Because visible object impinge on the eye base, but aloka is not that. So why do you use the word aloka, not ruparamana? Because ruparamana is a reality. Why aloka is only the memory of light that one used to take it to be calm until nothing appear except that as nimitta.
So the aloka is just a concept of what is seen, of light. It's not the reality itself.
That's why we don't misuse aloka for visible object. Visible object.
In the commentary, it said that aloka is one condition of seeing to arise.
Aloka, light itself. Aloka. Panjati of light. Panjati of earth for samatha bhavana, all panjati, kasina.
I misunderstand about the mean other. Sometimes they use the word aloka is light, so that is not.
But then when they use aloka as light, it's in a specific context, in the particular context of the development of samatha, where the object of the citta with calm is the sign, the panyati of visible object, but no visible object experienced at all. So we cannot say aloka is a condition for visible object to appear. It's because it's like saying concept is a condition for visible object to be seen. And you cannot say concept is a condition for visible object to be seen. So it's a very specific context.
So I'm not sure that I get it. Light, so light is visible object, and light has no color.
Light as a condition for visible object. I think you mentioned the commentary, right? And you mentioned it talks about light, and this is also referred to by Gunapadon earlier. That gives, I think, four or five factors that establish, if you like, visible object, right? One of them is light. So I think what we're saying is, if it does use the term aloka there, it's not the same as the aloka that is the subject of samatha development. It's a different use of the term aloka, because in the case of the development of samatha, it becomes an image only, like the image of the earth kasina.
Right.
Uses of the word.
I can, yes. I separate the aloka in samatha. But this aloka is mentioned in the Atasarini, the commentary, is one factor, one of five factors for seeing arise. So if no, there is no aloka, the seeing cannot see. So this is not concerned about, not dealing with about samatha,
right,
at all. It's just in the other context.
Yes.
And so I wonder that aloka, in fact, if whether it mean light, and now there is aloka right now, so one can see. So aloka should be.
I think it means rupa. I would take it to mean light in the conventional sense. Because so if there's darkness, then there can't be, although there is seeing in darkness, but there can't be seeing of objects. So if there was total darkness, I don't know if there's any seeing or not, but I think it's just used in a more conventional sense in that circumstance. So would that be correct, Ajahn?
When you think of loka, you mean that there is no shape and form at all, right? Only light without
only light
shape and form.
No
is that what
form.
You mean?
Just light.
So when it becomes the sign for the samatha practitioner, only light without shape and form is there.
In the context of one of the factors for seeing to experience visible object?
That is thinking about what we call it, separate, like Ruparamana. But what is seen is a reality that can be seen, no matter we call it light or a color or what.
Right.
No difference at all.
Right.
For example now, do you see Queen Sarah? Or, really?
thinking about Queen Sarah.
Do you see Queen Sarah?
Cannot see Queen Sarah. I cannot.
So what is seen?
Seeing, but I cannot be aware.
A reality. Remember that it's real, but it's a reality, only one reality that can be seen, no one in it. But the primary rupas are there, but no one. The primary rupas are the primary rupas. And that which is seen is that which is seen, that can be seen. And when you dream about Kunsala, what is there?
Just thinking.
Can you dream of her, about her, in a dream? Can she appear in a dream?
It's just, no.
So just what thinking. Appears? Thinking about what?
Thinking about, remember about.
Memory of what is seen.
Idea, concept.
If there is nothing which is seen, there is no idea about people and things at all. But in a dream, it's the memory of that which is seen before. But it's not Rupa Ramana, because there is no seeing. That's why before there can be the understanding clearly about a reality which is seen. See, it has to be the developed panya to understand that actually no, nothing at all. At moment of seeing is only that which can be seen. But there is thinking a lot about everything, like trees, people, and situation, and circumstances, on and on. But actually it's just the moment of visible object which can be seen. And after that, the shape and form, the image, the sign, condition, many thinking about. So in a dream, what is there?
Concept.
You call it concept, but what is there? Thinking about what is seen as something.
Both you and Kunnopadom talk about light as a condition for what is seen, and Nopadom mentioned by Paktupanisya Pachya, and it doesn't make sense to me, because actually there's only one reality, one Rupa Aramana, that is mentioned, like in a Kalapa, there is visible object. There's not any separate Rupa which is light. There's no light Rupa. So light is visible object. It's part of an aspect of visible object. It's not like there's some other light out there that conditions in this way or that way. So it's just when it talks about light as a condition for visible object, it's pointing to how it is an aspect of visible object. Only visible object is seen. But if there is darkness, no condition for visible object to be seen. But actually, only visible object is seen.
O light, Rupa.
So there cannot be total darkness because a visible object is there all the time, right?
Not all the time at all.
When it's seen, but I mean the in the indivisible kalapas is there.
It's there, but it's not seen all the time. Isn't that the difference? It's in the kalapa, but it's not seen all the time. And when it's not seen, there is an absence of light. Therefore, darkness. Are you suggesting, Thumb, that light is there all the time, so there can be seeing all the time?
No, I just related to, you know, because in all kalapas there is visible object, so there cannot be absolutely a darkness. It's just all what I meant.
Without seeing, can it appear?
No.
So it's not light or seen. It's dark.
Born blind, completely blind, so visible object still arises in every kalapa, but no conditions for it ever to be seen.
Can we say that if there is no light, the visible object cannot impinge to the eye base in the darkness? Only black invisible object imprint to the eye base.
How do you know that it's dark?
It's black. Can't see nothing.
If there is no seeing at all in a dark room, for example.
There's darkness and there's total blackness. You're talking about total,
no light. No light.
Black is seen too. It's black.
So black is invincible.
Yeah,
object.
Black is seen.
Imprints the eyebrow.
Whatever appears.
You're talking about black as in darkness, which is not the color black, right?
Darkness. Is it different from not seeing? Black.
We
total
can
black.
Say that whenever there is no seeing. Nothing can appear as now, as object of seeing at all.
But black, total black can appear when we're in the room with total dark.
Black is seen, so we call it black.
So it's an absence of light, no color. Is no seeing. Like black is a color, so once one opens one eyes.
We are talking about idea, yeah, of reality, but not reality, which can impinge on the eye base. And at moment of seeing, no idea about black or white or whatever, because that moment is the understanding of reality as not self or anything at all.
So when it talks about light as a condition or no light, it just means that if there is no seeing, there is no light, no visible object experienced, no visible object impinging on eye sense. But at a moment of seeing, light is there, no matter it's a dark room or what it is, however, whatever shade or degree or we can't even say it's a strong or weak visible object or anything. It's just that which is seen at that moment.
So, can visible object be black?
Yes.
See? But it's visible object at moment when they're seeing.
So, Kunsara, so at the moment of thinking of Kuntam, Kunmait, that moment is dark, the same as dreaming.
no light, no condition light, yeah. for visible object yeah. to be seen, yeah. because at that moment is thinking, so no visible object that's impinged that is experienced, no light at all.
Thank you.
So black is not darkness.
It's light.
Get confused. So different black and darkness.
Darkness is not light or black. Nothing appear.
And sometimes we say that sound is arising even when it's not being experienced. For example, not an example, but so Thumb's point is, I think, that light, visible object,
excuse
is arising.
Me? You mean that sound can be experienced without hearing? So what?
We talk about sound being caused by the coming together of hardness.
That is thinking about sound.
It is, yep.
Not the moment when sound appears as object of hearing.
That's correct, right. If we're talking about conditions, for example, the condition for the arising of sound, for example, is the contact of hardness, and that, it is said, happens regardless of whether sound is experienced at the moment or not.
In the forest, on the street?
Something
like
that.
In the kitchen?
Yeah. Thumb is saying that the same could be said for visible object.
Yes.
Because the...
But no one sees. So can we say that it is visible object? But the kalapa must be that which can impinge on the eyeballs. Every kalapa. But when it's not seen, can you say that it's light?
If there is no seeing at this moment, what's the point of saying, well, actually, there's light out there even though I can't see it?
Maybe I would like to share an idea. You can see the back of you or something like that. But go back to the light and darkness. I remember in the sutta...
You, what are you talking about?
Sorry.
What
light,
does that mean?
Light and darkness, sorry. So, light.
I'd like to know what is...
Okay. At the time. I just remind that I cannot see behind. Because there is a visible object all of behind us. But I close to the point of light and darkness, okay? I heard in the sutta, in the Lokanta, Narok, or hell, it's no light. But the animal in that womb had a Chakku Vijnana, okay? In Sutta. Okay. The other thing that in the sign we call the black hole, I don't know, maybe mention, just a concept to understand what is the darkness or no light. You heard Lokanta Narok before, but I don't know.
If it is not seen, can you say anything about it? Can you say it a black hole?
But I think that it mentioned light in the conventional sense, not in the sense of light in the visible object. That it can be seen, because obviously things are seen in the hell, right? Otherwise, how can one... talk about it.
Mention the poom, little loka, lokanta, narok.
Yeah.
The poom then refer to no light. It means darkness.
But it means only the conventional light, like when we, in the evening, we turn off the light and it's dark. So in the conventional sense, we say it's dark, but it doesn't mean that visible object
okay,
is not
there. I know what you mean. Okay.
been discussing how at any moment of seeing, there must be light there, no matter it seems so dark or it seems that only black is seen. Actually, the object is light. There is light at that moment. So if it says there is seeing but no light, I think it must also be the conventional.
So there's seeing but you can't see anything.
It seems that nothing is seen.
I can say like this, there's no visible object in that area.
I cannot say that because if there is seeing, visible object must be seen.
No shape or form.
As Jonathan said, so seems so dark, so visible object is seen, but no shape and form discernible. So not thinking about concepts about particular visible objects.
Even the planes of existence must be reality. For example, without seeing, hearing, smelling, without consciousness, can we say that there is planes, different planes of existence? See? So it's only the idea for realities at moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. That's all.
Example of why colour is not such a good translation of visible object, because visible object is seen but no colour appears.
I think that there it is, but no need to call it anything.
Do we have time to bring another topic? Maybe it's useful for Tambas, because when the Sara discussed the English in time, she talked about the list question. There are a lot of questions, but Sara mentioned about the Pakatupa Nisya Pachaya. It's different from Aramana Pachaya, because it's not Aramana for. But Pakatupa Nisya Pachaya may be for Pachaya for Vipaka. And the thinking or something like that. There are a lot of things to talk about. Upa nisya pachaya, aramanapi, anamanurapa nisya pachaya, anatarupa nisya pachaya, patatupa nisya pachaya. Would you like conclusion that you're talking about when you come in Thailand? And maybe
tomorrow we can go into more detail, because this is totally new topic, but I think that what is important is, like we mentioned this morning, is just to understand that whatever reality arises now must have conditions. So no matter what conditions, must be by conditions. And we talked about how any citta arising now must be conditioned by Paktupanisya Pachya, as well as other conditions, but maybe more details tomorrow on this. Maybe if there's anything else on light or visible object or seeing, we can just finish this topic today.
But what Jitta thinks about it?
Kusala or Akusala Jitta now?
There can be this moment, at moment, thinking about Lokanta. See?
One of our friends on the discussion list who has met you as well, and whenever you suggest that perhaps what someone is mentioning or asking, maybe, for example, I'm not saying in this case I wouldn't say it, but you're mentioning it may be wrong understanding or delirious thinking, and this friend says, how can you read or know the cheetahs of others?
Yes, I remember.
Not necessary, no need to know the other's citta, but talking about what can understand by such thinking, that whether it's kusala or akusala thinking about that, how many types of variety of Sotapattimagga. uncountable. See? Do we have to follow? What difference are there? Or the variety of all these? Do we have to follow each word? Like Sotapatimaka of...
Do we have to know all the details about all the different kinds? Very, very, very detailed in the text and the commentaries. Do we need to know all the details about the different kinds of Sotapati Magga Chittas? But what about if death comes now? How will it help? What use will it be? So what is important to understand now?
I remember he asked, do you know the other person's citta? So what would be the best answer? I would know. I think we cannot know what someone else is thinking or...
What Ajahn just said, it's not a matter of knowing the other's citta's. It's not necessary, but if one is thinking in this way, maybe one can just give a reminder to consider for oneself what kind of thinking it is, because one knows for oneself that if one is speculating about the different kinds of cittas of the Sotapati Magga or some details which cannot be understood now, when it's trying to work it out. Again, it's like we discussed the other day. There's the idea that just thinking and working out the details can somehow bring some understanding, but actually it just leads to more thinking and more speculation about ideas, taking one further away from understanding at this very moment. Yes, so I think it's really a matter of just what one begins to understand for what
lead him to the present moment, because that only matters. But he expects an answer, so difficult.
Either it's not a matter of knowing the cheetahs, but just knowing from a little understanding that what is most useful is understanding about now.
I think that no matter how long life is, it's not long enough to understand what Buddha taught and commentaries in details about everything.
We need to be selective about what we
need to know, what can be known.
Suitable for our limited level of understanding, what can be known now.
When a young talk says, I think about the pratyati. There are three pratyati. I would like to check with you, talk about the three pratyati. I catch the snake at the tail of snake, something like that.
Just in brief, there are three kinds of study Dharma. The first one is study like grab the snake in its tail, so it bites you back. And the other one is study with carefully, really carefully studying, and to eradicate everything, to not gaining anything. And the other one is study to keep the wording of the Buddha. So that's the kind of studying Dhamma that's mentioned in the Sutta.
One is studying the details in the
Abhidharma, like was mentioned this morning, the classifications and the numbers and the Pali terms without any understanding. This is given example of grabbing the snake in the wrong way, turn round and bite, because nothing is known.
And in Thai session, Chan mentioned more about studying wrong in the wrong way. When you're studying with ourselves, with self, that is one of the wrong way of studying as well. So this is more very, very subtle.
Just trying to collect details and Dharma knowledge for oneself, not actually for the sake of understanding.
Did I hear you talking about three kinds of pariyati, and you talked about the snake? The first, none of them seem to me to really be pariyati, but maybe we move on to that tomorrow. Certainly not grabbing the snake by the tail, nor in the middle. But
seeing the details and so on is not any kind of pariyati.
That's right.
So how many kinds of pariyati are there really? Is this like learning lots of details and numbers, and because we've discussed this a lot before, is this any kind of pariyati?
For
fame and so forth, that you know better than the others, it cannot eliminate the idea of self and kilesa.
His point is that we've been talking all the time about how pariyati has to be with understanding, and if it's just for oneself or to be famous, actually we think it's pariyati, but it's not pariyati at all.
We learn to understand reality in order to have less ignorance and attachment. That's the point of studying the teachings.